This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Just getting rolling here on Legal Tampering Day in the National Football League, starting at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Free agents across the NFL can start talking to other teams. If you're just now joining us, Linnell Willingham, Denton Day here taking you up to 1 o'clock. Bruce Feldman, college football insider and draft guru for The Athletic, going to join us at 11:40. Get a little bit of local flavor and see what the Commanders have done up to this point with our guy Sam Fortier of The Washington Post coming up at 12:30. But a lot happened over the weekend across the NFL. A couple of things happened relative to the Commanders. We know Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Zane Gonzalez, and Chris Rodriguez all back in the fold. Over the past 24 hours, John Bates and Tress Way putting pen to paper to stay here in Washington as well. Bates, a multi-year deal. I think it was a three-year deal for John Bates. As it was key to keep him in-house, and then Tress Way sticking around as well. Dante Fowler and De'Ami Brown with some interesting tweets last night. Don't expect both of those two guys back. Their positions, though, are positions of need for Washington still as we get ready for free agency. But those are two in-house guys that I don't expect back. When the season ended, this was my thought process, and I'm here right now as De'Ami and Dante Fowler are PO'd. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Every decision, first and foremost, the job ain't for the weak at heart. This isn't easy to go out and field a roster, right? This isn't Madden. There are real consequences that come with you failing in free agency. And I think for Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and the pro scouts, this job that they have this offseason is massive. They have to do their damnedest to not fall too far back of what they were a season ago. And I think a big part of that is being aggressive, taking advantage of having Jayden Daniels on this rookie contract. I think before noon is when you got to show your aggression as well. Washington, while they were able to get Ertz done, Wagner done, Gonzalez, Bates, and Tress Way, there are still some other guys that are UFAs for this team that I think you really, really should bring back. The market is going to be strong in a couple of different positions. Offensive tackle, I'm seeing Dan Moore of Pittsburgh expected to get $20 million per. That drives up the cost of a guy like Cornelius Lucas, who quite literally, right, is in the same situation as a guy like Dan Moore. Now, Dan Moore has had more starting opportunities, I guess, over the past several years, but I think skill set-wise, he isn't somebody that's way better than Corn Lucas. So a guy that I had on my list, the 15 to 16 guys that I need to bring back, Corn Lucas was on it, you may get driven out of his market. Jeremy Chinn at the safety spot. The safety position is expected to boom this offseason. After last year, it was weird. Teams were lowballing teams. Justin Simmons had to wait, a former All-Pro, to get even a reasonable deal, and he was still on a one-year flyer. According to Jordan Schultz of FoxSports.com, Jeremy Chinn near the top of teams' lists when it comes to the free agent safety market. So the question that I wanted to ask at 301-230-0980, we'll ask it to you as well, Denton. Which in-house free agent that hasn't signed are you most fearful of losing? My answer is Jeremy Chinn. I think he just meant too much to the organization last year and to the defense. I really, really feel like with Chinn, he embodies what it's going to mean to be a Commander moving forward. Fast, physical, tough, and at 26 years of age, still young enough to where you can have him throughout the duration of his prime. So Jeremy Chinn is my guy that I think I've got to bring back out of the other guys that are left here. Some of the other key names, Dante Fowler, De'Ami Brown. I kind of thought about this as he was playing really well, especially after the Dallas game and the season finale. Marcus Mariota is expected to have a strong market, and I think he showed enough last year to where he genuinely probably in his heart of hearts feels like, hey, I've shown enough to this point that I can be a potential bridge starter in the National Football League again. And I think the market for a guy like Mariota is even hotter after seeing the QB reclamation projects of Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. And remember when all three of those guys became available, talking about Baker, Darnold, and Geno relative to the quarterback market at the time, they were at the top of the list. So there's probably a team out there looking, and I think the Vegas Raiders, now that they've got Geno, you take them off the list. That, to me, was the destination that made the most sense for Mariota because of the familiarity with Chip Kelly. But Miami has been linked as a team that, like, really is intrigued by Mariota. I don't know if that would be the destination he's looking at because it would probably be in a backup role. I'd have to think, depending on if Seattle strikes out on Sam Darnold, that he would be a guy that they would potentially look at. There are QB-needy teams out there in the NFL that are going to be in on Marcus Mariota. He's a guy that I also feel like, fearful of losing him. I don't know is how I would describe it. I look at what you have in Jeff Driskel and go, hey, if Mariota is lost, I don't feel like the sky is falling because I know they really like Jeff Driskel. And it wasn't just the locks and the flow that had me feeling good about Sam Hartman. He looked pretty good this preseason in camp.
I think Chinn is at the top of the list. Noah Brown is at the top of my list as well.
He might get overpaid, didn't he?
If they're not going to keep De'Ami Brown, which at this point seems like the direction,
yeah.
Noah Brown might be a guy that they would look to keep as a good wide receiver three. I love him in the role of wide receiver three. I'm considering Debo wide receiver two. Mm-hmm. People are like, no, he's a weapon. He's wide receiver two. He's going to line up more often than not on the outside somewhere at the line of scrimmage, slot, wherever. I think Noah Brown staying would be huge for this offense. You know, there are optional safeties out there that I think could fill the role that Jeremy Chinn had. Hufanga is the big one, has connections to Adam Peters. If the Patriots are going to bring all of Mike Vrabel's friends, Adam Peters might as well bring all of his friends from San Francisco. So if Hufanga wants to come out here and play, if Traverius Ward wants to come out here and play, all of a sudden the secondary got significantly better, and then you keep a guy like a Noah Brown.
Yeah, I agree with you. And since you brought up the secondary, another guy that I'm banging on the table for, and I think he's going to have an interesting market because of how well he played last year and the age, Noah Igbinoghene. Like, the corner market is strong, but if you're looking for a second-tier guy to take a flyer on and compete to be a starter for you, I think other teams are going to view Noah Igbinoghene similarly to how Washington viewed him last year. I think think about how important Noah Igbinoghene was last year. Emmanuel Forbes stunk. Benjamin St. Juice stunk. If you didn't have the fallback option of Noah Igbinoghene that allowed you to kick Emmanuel Forbes, Mikey Samuelsill to the outside, then you're screwed, kinda, right? Like,
and if you didn't have, he gave you the flexibility to kick Mikey to the outside, mm-hmm. to kick Forbes to the curb,
yeah.
and then basically to bench Benjamin St. Juice for a majority of the second half of this season. I think the nice thing about him, though, is that you're not more likely than not going to get a massive market for him.
For Noah Igbinoghene?
For Noah Igbinoghene, because there are a lot of other guys that I would think most teams are going to look at and say, well, he's on the same level as them. So I think Noah Igbe might be a guy that stays here for cheaper money. I don't want him to get like radically underpaid here, but I think you can keep him for cheaper money.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. He's one of my guys, though, that I would really want back. I think he's a core special teams guy for you as well. Depending on the way free agency goes, and if you're able to land a big fish like Travarius Ward or Carlton Davis or Byron Murphy, he's a good safety net. Because I think I said this on Friday, I would have no qualms about going into next year with my corner trio being Lattimore and Mikey on the outside and then Noah Igbe back in the slot. I think that secondary looks marketably better if you're able to get a consistent pass rush. And I'm not talking about those weak-ass 10.5 sacks that Dante Fowler gave us last year. Now that he put the tweet out, I want smoke. Now that he put the tweet out, I have things to say. Because I was saying it during the regular season.
One thing I do just want to point out, Noah Igbe was on a one-year, $1.2 million deal.
Oh, he's going to get paid.
So getting paid for him, if you just double that money.
Maybe give him to four.
He has $2.5 million. You can give him, hey, here's a two-year, $8 million deal.
Yeah, I think.
And, like, that's a great, that's a team-friendly deal, but you're also getting him a much bigger paycheck in the process, and then he can be your corner three, corner four, if they decide to go for a Travarius Ward, to go for somebody in the draft, if, like, Will Johnson slips all the way down to 29. Not anticipating that to happen, but Will Johnson played with Mikey Sanders still at Michigan. He has a championship pedigree. So there are options that they have. And you like that's the one thing that was very nice about Noah Igbe is you're not really going to end up overpaying him. I mean, if they give him like a one-year, $8 million deal, I'm going to be scratching my head and being like, hey,
that would be a massive
guys,
offer, yeah.
You know, what are we doing? But you could just double that money, and you're still looking at that deal as a very, very cheap team-friendly deal while also getting the guy paid in the process.
So another guy at a position that I think the market is going to boom for, Cornelius Lucas, like he is the guy that I would have close to the top of my list saying, hey, I would really, really, really like to bring him back. Like Cornelius Lucas, whether it's to be your swing tackle, whether it's to compete at right tackle with Andrew Wiley, I think you want him back. He knows you. You know him. I think he works his tail off. I think he's a popular guy in the locker room. He's a guy that's actually been around for a little while here in this organization, so knows what it's like to see the bad version of the Commanders. I think he's one of your, I don't know if glue guy would be a stretch, but I think he is someone that will have interest. The tackle market is kind of getting outrageous, so I look at him as a guy where there's a potential that maybe he gets a deal that you're not comfortable matching. I guess is the right term to use.
By the way, I have something that we're going to do every time we get some sort of breaking news. Mm-hmm. This is not Commander-centric, but I'm using this as an example for the next 2.5 hours. We got some breaking news here. We're talking about the defensive back market. Well, that market just got reset. J.C. Horn staying with Carolina on an extension, 4 years, $100 million. He's the highest paid corner at 25 per year in NFL history. Not that that's going to do anything for like a Noah Igbe contract, but if you're looking at like maybe a Travarius Ward, if you wanted to get him for $12 to $14 million a year, now that that market just got bumped up a little bit, you might have to pay him $13 to $15 million a year. As the saying goes, a rising tide lifts all ships.
Man, well, thank you for that. Love the sounder as well. Whew. I remember Washington was sniffing around last year in his market to see if Carolina was going to get off of him. Obviously, the Panthers and David Tepper with some sort of common sense and some level of football smarts to get one of their young cornerstones on the defensive side signed to a long-term deal. How many long-term deals do you think Washington gives out this offseason? Because
what are we considering a long-term deal?
3+.
So does 3 count?
Yeah.
All right, so you're absolutely getting one to Terry on an extension.
Yes. I think Chin gets a three-year deal.
I would say that they're going to give a three-year deal to at least one bigger free agent. Not a big splash. I think most of the big splashes are going to go elsewhere, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But a bit like if a Charvarius Ward or a Hufanga or whoever, if they come to D.C., my guess is that they are in a three-year or a four-year deal. It allows you to kind of maneuver the money a little bit to lessen the cap hit this year if you want to really just bolster and sign a bunch of dudes,
yeah,
which the team needs because they have a lot of like legitimate holes on the roster in terms of amount of people they need to field.
Yeah, there's still a lot as I'm looking at their updated, up-to-date UFA list. Yeah, still a couple of guys that were, that I'd like to have back. Nick Ballore, someone that doesn't get brought up a ton. I think he may be a late return. I think Washington probably lets him go out and test his market, but a core special teamer and someone that's part of the fabric of your football team. We haven't talked a whole lot about the potential of Derek Forrest coming back. Interested in that. Didn't get a lot of snaps last year. Dad was pretty vocal on social media, but he was not. Thought he carried himself like an absolute pro's pro. But be interested to bring him back if you can't retain Jeremy Chinn. That's the thing that kind of fears me. If you can't retain Jeremy Chinn, damn, that's a lot of production that you're talking about missing when it comes to Jeremy Chinn, right? It's over 100 tackles for that guy. The ball production's not there, and I think that ultimately may hurt his market, but I just think he was, and he started off the season slow, but he was a heat-seeking missile last year at times, and I think he's really got the opportunity to do well for himself in free agency. We'll see if it's here or somewhere else. 301-230-0980 is the number. The NFL insiders from ESPN, CBSSports.com, Albert Breer with the MMQB, have released some free agent nuggets in their notebooks. We'll get to some of that and how it relates to the Commanders coming up next on the Team 980.
So as you just heard, big extension dished out to J.C. Horn of the Carolina Panthers. They agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension in Carolina, making him the highest-paid cornerback in NFL history, averaging $25 million per year. Yesterday was a massive day for some big-money guys. Myles Garrett staying in Cleveland on an extension that'll pay him $40 million per year, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Josh Allen of the Bills reached a six-year extension worth $330 million. The Steelers traded, then extended. DK Metcalf, 5 years, $150 million. Pay attention to that one. That's $30 million per year. My guess is Terry McLaurin might end up with maybe $31 million per year after that one. Devontae Adams agrees to a two-year deal with the Rams. He's choosing Matt Stafford over his boy Aaron Rodgers. Friendship breakups are hard, man. The Commanders are keeping some of their own. Zach Ertz on a one-year deal. Tress Way on a one-year deal. John Bates on a three-year deal. So they're keeping some of their guys in-house. Elsewhere around the DMV, the Capitals picked up a 4-2 win over the Seattle Kraken. Alex Ovechkin scored goal 886. He's eight away from tying Wayne Gretzky, nine away from breaking his record. The Caps next in action tomorrow in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. Local hoops this week. The Big Ten tournament starts on Wednesday. The Terps' first game is Friday at 6:30 against an opponent to be determined. Mason in action on Friday is the number two seed in the A-10 tournament at Cap 1 against a team to be determined at 5. Georgetown takes on DePaul at 6:30 on Wednesday in the Big East tournament. And that's what's trending.